If you will, turn into your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Being a disciple of Christ is a calling and a joy. We have so many good things in this life because we have a relationship that comes by being united with Christ. One of the aspects of being a Christian is striving to be in the image of Christ to those around us. When those folks on the outside view us, we want them to see the heart of Christ at work within us. We want them to know that love is unconditional. We want them to know that we give and share because they are valued, not because of what they can do for us. We want them to say that we like others because we live like Christ. There is a word that Christians use to describe the process of change in our lives. And we use the word often, and the word is transformation. To be transformed is to be different than we were before. Before, our old self wanted what was best for us. We wanted the best that we could have, and that sinful aspect becomes willing to do whatever it takes to get to where we want to be. Sometimes it brings harm to others along the way. And then there is the Spirit-filled side of us. The Spirit wants to produce in us the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. The Spirit wants to transform our old mind, if you will, into a Christ-like mind. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12 in verses 1 and 2, verses that you have heard many times, but verses that always bear repeating. He says here, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This transformation that Paul speaks of begins inside of us, in our minds. When we renew our mind, when we change the way we process what to do next, we make those decisions based upon God's will and not our own. When we change our way of thinking, we change our way of living. In our passage, Paul asked us to take an inventory of our mind, to really examine what we think about and how it affects what we do. When we think about things that are true and worthy of respect, we think on a higher level than when we let our mind drift off to things that are self-serving and that are of this world. Paul adds to this list of things that are from above the word just. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, Joseph is described as a just man or a righteous man. His character was one in which he discerned right from wrong. He sought what was right or just for others. In this case, Mary, who was pregnant, but he was not the father. God chose Joseph to be the father of the early life of Jesus. And he did this because of this just characteristic that Joseph had shown. And that is the calling here. Don't think about what we believe is fair, because we get that. But think about what is right. Sometimes what is right causes us to let some wrong cause to us to be used in a way that we can help the one who wronged us. Sometimes when we think about what is just or right, we see more the value of that person. And then we know that we can do without a specific freedom for the sake of unity with that other person. This is what God teaches us in Romans chapter 14. And if you look in there, and I don't have the exact verse, but it's talking about eating meat. And the gist of it is that while we have the right to eat meat, if the eating of that meat causes someone else's faith to stumble because they don't believe in it, we don't want to push them away from the joy of salvation. So we won't eat that meat in front of them. Why? Just because it is just or right for us to do it. And even if we do it, we are still in the body of Christ. We want to give up that freedom that Christ has given to us so that it won't harm another individual. We need to put into it practicality. We have emotions. And sometimes the emotions of anger dwells up within us. Now, nowhere in the Bible does God tell us not to get angry. But God does call on us to deal with our anger in a manner that is just and right. So before we speak, when we're angry, we need to ask ourselves, are the words I am about to say just or right in the sight of God? When we're upset and we have the world before us, let's say on Facebook. I like to use social media because there's a lot of stuff out there that people write before they think. Does what we post on social media, and I'm just not going to pick it out, but all of it, social media, do what we say, are we putting our faith aside and speaking our mind? And when we speak our mind, does it bring shame upon Christ and the church? While we say may be truthful, but is it said in a way that brings praise and honor and glory? Think about what is just and right, and then open our mouths. Whether we post it on social media, whether we react to our child's actions or our spouse's own words, we need to lift our mind above this earth to a higher ground. Another way to stay positive is to think about things that are pure. There's an old word that's not used much anymore, and that is the word chaste. The calling for moral purity in the mind is so much needed today. It is easy to have your mind put into the gutter when we think about the way people speak today. And today you hear the excuse, well, it's just words. That's a sorry cop-out, and that's not ones that should be used as Christians. The society today wants us to sexualize everything and everyone, even to the youngest age possible today. But God steps in, He calls us upward, calls us to think about the things that are pure, innocent, chaste, or moral character. Let me see if I can provide a little bit better illustration. Let's say I want a balloon to float on a string. And so I get the balloon and I huff and I puff and I blow that balloon as far as it'll go. And I tie it to a string. Will that balloon float? No. Now, maybe if you're from Washington, D.C. and a politician, it might with all the hot air. But typically, no. I take that same balloon and I fill it as far as it'll go with water and tie a string to it. Will it float? No. But if I was to take that same balloon and I would fill it with helium and tie it off, will that balloon float? Yes. Why? Because it was filled with the right thing and it will float upward. The same thing with our minds. If we fill our minds with the right thing, we will move upward. God is calling us upward. And so we need to fill our minds with the right things. See, our minds are often filled with things that will not allow us to soar as Christians. So Paul is telling us, in very few words, that we need to retrain our minds. How many times do we look at individuals and we automatically make a judgment based upon what they are wearing? For their outward appearance. We have a tendency sometimes to forget that they are people with souls and that they are also people who want to be genuinely cared for and valued. But we make those judgments. Think about the things that are innocent. You know, oftentimes when we say, well, that person is naive, we use that kind of in the wrong way, don't we? We kind of think, well, they're just not with it. But being a little naive is not wrong. As a matter of fact, we probably should be a lot more naive than we are educated. You know, it's not all that bad not to know all the slang that people use out there today. It's not all that bad for when someone tells off-color jokes not to laugh like you get it. Where are our minds when we give in to those things? And I know there are folks say, I don't care who you are, that's funny. But sometimes it's not funny because it has taken shots at others. Where are our minds? We need to focus on the things that are pure. I want to look at just a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 21. It is a really good parable that Jesus had told. A very short one, but very much in line with this lesson. It starts in verse 28. And it's only four verses, verse 31. Jesus He was challenged by some of the chief priests and the elders in the temple at the time. Then Jesus told them this parable, and after he told them the parable, he asked them a question. And it was a really simple parable. He said, "What do you think?" He said, "A man had two sons. And he went to the first and he said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyards today.' And the son answered," he said, "'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and he went. And he went to the second son and he said to the second son, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard.' And the second son, 'I will go.' But he didn't go. So Jesus, he asked the elders and chief priests, he said, 'Which of the two did the will of the Father?' And they answered, 'The first one.'" In other words, what they said was, "The one who changed his mind." See, it was right after that parable that Jesus went and kicked them in the shins. Because he went on to say, right after that, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of heaven before they will. See, because Jesus understood that all these tax collectors, all these harlots and stuff that would follow Jesus around, that the religious leaders of the day would persecute and downplay, these were the ones who were changing their mind, but the religious leaders were not. They kept their own hard-heartedness. Are we changing our minds? Are we? Are we thinking differently because our relationship with God Almighty? Or are we pretty much the same people we were before our conversion? Are we still harboring animosity of one another? Are we still harboring ill thoughts? We need to take an inventory of our minds. And better yet, we need to think on the things that Paul is teaching us in this text. You know, it's a true saying that from the heart and mind flows the actions. And it is those actions that truly tell everyone who we are. Our goal as the body of Christ is to allow Jesus to be seen in us, in everything that we do and say. And it starts when we start thinking like Jesus Christ. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need of the prayers of this congregation, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. Or this evening. If this is your time to obey the gospel, we pray that you will not delay, but make that commitment today. It is a huge sacrifice and one that should not be taken lightly, but one that is necessary if you want eternal life. If there's anyone who wants to obey the gospel this evening or just need the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.